I want to talk to you about today about how to love your spouse. And some of you are here, and maybe when you hear that, you're thinking, man, I could have stayed home today. I'm not married at this time. I don't want to be married. I don't ever plan to be married. That's all right. And that really is okay. There are people that you know, they did that and it didn't work, or something else has transpired and they've moved on and they've decided they're going to stay single. And that is all right. But let me tell you the principle and the principles that I'm going to teach you today in this message apply to every relationship that you'll have. Every relationship. And so if you're a Christian, you're called to be in good relationships and how to advance those relationships. Can I hear a good amen? Amen. Now, the way you love your spouse is by choosing, listen to this, a love that lasts a lifetime. Again, can I say it? This applies to every relationship. Here's a little story for you. It says, a man came to his pastor for help because he was considering divorce. The pastor counseled him to stay in his marriage and began to show the man scriptures which spoke to the issue of marital commitment. He first used Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. Husbands, love your wives. He thought he had this little problem solved. The man responded by saying, I don't love her. The pastor then turned to John 13, 35. He said this, by this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. The minister noted that they were both Christians, and he said this, they should be able to at least love each other as fellow believers. The husband replied, we fight all the time. The longer I stay with her, the less I like her. The determined man of God, the pastor, then scrambled to Matthew 22 and 39. He said, love your neighbor as yourself. Pleadingly, he asked, will you at least try loving her as your next door neighbor? In response, the man said, pastor, you just don't understand. We're not even friends anymore. The pastor's face lighted up with relief. He said, well then, I've got just the verse that you need. Triumphantly, he read Matthew chapter 5, verse 44. Here it goes, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. I mean, this guy wasn't going to let him get out. Any of you relate to those little analogies? We're not even friends anymore. Come on, let's be real. If you've ever been married, you feel like that occasionally. We're not even friends anymore. And we don't want to be neighbors either. Now, in marriage, the word love can take on many different definitions. And because of this, we sometimes try to force our spouse to love us the way that we want to be loved. How many of you have learned that will not work? You see, believing love to mean something different than your spouse's belief, here's what it'll do. It will set you up for disappointment and frustration. Anybody ever experienced that? Here's what we need to do. Both spouses must strive to love one another with an indestructible love that will last for a lifetime. Can I hear one more amen to know that you're with me today? You see, understanding what indestructible love is can dramatically change your marriage. And isn't that what we all want? We want it to change for good. So what I'm going to do today, I want to share with you different types of love and how only one indestructible love will last for a lifetime. How many of you are hearing those terms? Indestructible love and a love that will last for a lifetime. Now think about this. Indestructible love is explained in John 3:16. And it's defined by the word, and this is a Greek word, agape, which means to choose unconditional love. Listen to this. By an act of the will. That's what Jesus chose to do for us. And that's what John 3:16 says. He's talking about a love that was a decision of the act of the will. Now I'll explain that a little further in just a little bit. But how many of you know we hear a lot of terms now? But I want you to know this about agape love. Agape love does not need chemistry. We hear a lot about chemistry today and affinity or, feelings so we can survive this thing called marriage. But how many of you know that agape love doesn't have anything to do with chemistry and affinity and a feeling that maybe we can get through this thing and survive it. But here's what agape does. It endures through any circumstances or difficulty. That's what agape does. Aren't you glad that God doesn't at some point, after we begin our relationship with Him, aren't you glad He doesn't bail out on us? Aren't you glad that He says, He talks to the Father and says, God, I don't feel like I love your people anymore. I'm sorry. It's just not there. Aren't you glad Jesus doesn't do that? Aren't you glad when He spoke in John 3:16, He was talking about a love that lasts forever? You see, the type of love that many people experience when they meet and when they date, decide, and then they decide to marry, is a different love than agape love. Can we all realize that? Now, I'm not criticizing that. Because anyone who chooses to marry based upon anything other than agape love, because this is what will happen to me, is not understood. Now, let me explain that. I fell in love with Tracy, and I married her, can I be real with you? Because of physical love, physical attraction. That's okay. And there was some chemistry there, and there were a lot of feelings there. I remember the first time that I saw Tracy. I didn't meet her, but I saw her. Now, those of you who have been here a long time in this community, how many of you remember the food fair? My God, none of you. Am I that old now? Food fair. It was a grocery store here. It was before we went big time. It was before Brookshire's and some of these other superstores moved in, amen? Food fair. Guess what? It's a funeral home. But that's where I met Tracy, at food fair. Now, to be real with you, we've had some struggles. But we have far fewer struggles now because we understand something about love. We understand that there is a love that lasts for a lifetime. You've heard me joke about it, but I'm kind of serious. Hey, when you get a little older, you realize, you know, years ago we used to fight and fight about things and argue about things and stand our ground and go through the silent treatment. You learn after a while, if you're Christians, you just might as well give in. Come on. You might as well just yield to a love that lasts for a lifetime. We've had some struggles. I'm certainly not going to get up here and tell you about every struggle that we've had. The interesting thing is, it's not interesting, it's kind of a bum deal. We really have to put on our spiritual armor and be on guard and be aware of what's going on. Anytime I'm going to speak about marriage, that's the reason I don't speak on marriage very often. And when I'm going to do a wedding, some of the biggest fights that Tracy and I have ever had are leading up to a wedding ceremony. Is it not true, honey? We're not proud of it, but we've learned that is the devil trying to mess things up. We've had some struggles, but we've learned. Now, folks, unfortunately, let me tell you something. And we all know this by now, that nearly half of all marriages in America end in divorce. However, I want to say, if every married couple lived by the way that God loves us, every marriage would have 100% chance of not only surviving, but succeeding. How many of you believe with me that an indestructible marriage is possible? Let me tell you why it is. Because God created marriage. It is His exclusive domain. But a marriage can only flourish when its foundation is agape love. And it can't just be one. It takes both in the family, both in that marriage, to walk in agape love in order for it to really work. Amen? Marriage is God's exclusive domain. Now, the English word has only one basic word for love. Think about it. Our English language is limited. And often, this word love is overused, and really, it's inadequate. Because we use the same word to describe our love for our spouse, the same word that we do for our pet. I love you, honey. I love you, Ginger. Or I love my new car, or whatever it is. I mean, that is a very limiting word for love. Guys, let me just tell you, don't ever tell your wife you love her, say, oh, I love you, and then go down to the dog and say, oh, I love you. Don't ever do that. I'm going to tell you how to go Greek in a minute. How many of you know the Greek language is just the exact opposite? In other words, there are five basic words for the word love in the Greek. And how many of you know that's what the New Testament is written in, the Greek language? And that's where we kind of, people read their Bible and they say, man, there's some discrepancies here. No, not really, not in the original Greek. There are none. There are no misstated things. They all agree in the original language. But we get a problem here when we try to fit it into the English language. Now, when we're talking about our favorite football team or something in your life that you're passionate about, the word that is used there is, and I'm not good at pronouncing Greek, but I'm going to try euphemia, which describes that passion. Now, we just come through the football season and we all survived. Hallelujah. We survived. Amen? But you know, if you're passionate about football, Pastor Jim's not in here this morning. He's ministering elsewhere. But how many of you know Pastor Jim is passionate about football? And I could not wait until the Super Bowl game was over. I mean, I had about four or five people. I had a text ready to go if the team I was rooting for won and his didn't. And guess what? I mean, the minute the game, the clock wound down and 1 second, boom, 00, boom, I sent that text. Because Jim is passionate about football. Any of you know that about Jim? And he supports this one team that I hadn't figured out why, but he just loves them. The second Greek word for love is eros, which means, listen, we're in church, but it's okay. It means sexual desire. It's okay. Everybody's talking about sex. We might as well talk about sex in church. Eros can describe sex or sexual attraction. Can I go ahead and take it a little further? Let me just stop there. I think I'll stop there. It describes sex and sexual attraction. Are y'all aware the whole world's talking about sex one way or another? I mean, you hardly watch a program now that they're not talking about sex. It would do the church good to start talking about sex a little more. Amen? It's okay. God created it. It's all right to talk about. And certainly there are better climates or situations talk about certain aspects of sex. But let me tell you, God created it. Now, I don't want you to think about this. You can express love by having sex. Listen to this. But you cannot produce love by having sex. This is where our world is totally, absolutely confused. You can express love to your married partner. Boy, that's a strong amen. You can express love to the person you are married to your lifelong partner, by having sex with them. But you cannot produce love by having sex. Now, I could set a lot of people free and a lot of people that are messed up on love right now if they'd hear what I said. You can have sex as often as you want to, whenever you want to, and I'm going to leave that alone. But it will never produce love. Young ladies, listen to me. Older ladies, listen to me. You cannot produce love by having sex with somebody. You can release some endorphins. And you can release a whole lot of other things. I'll leave it alone. But love, you ain't producing. This is a very human part of love. And it's all right. The next word for love, actually the third word for love in the Greek language, is phileo. Now, a lot of Christians have heard about that one. It describes friendships or fond affection. That's okay to talk about in church, right? It's okay to talk about friendships and fond affections. It means that you love your friends as brothers or sisters in the Lord. Right? We love each other, right? We love each other. That's the reason we go to small groups, because we love each other. Because we want people to experience love and not rejection. The next word for love in the Greek language is storge, meaning a family bond. Now, this love is for parents and siblings and grandparents and others in the family. And if you got some family that you love, you storge them. And that's a good thing if you're fortunate to have a family that you love and you guys all get along. That's not possible in some cases, but for those of you that can, thank God for it. But the fifth and final word For love is agape, and it is God's love. Now, I pray today that we get a revelation of what biblical love means. Because we in the church, we need to grow in this. We need to understand what it means to love like God loves. When John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in Him would have eternal life." I believe in the Son. And that love that He has for us is an abiding love. It's God's kind of love. I want you to listen very carefully. Because what makes agape love unique is that it is the only, are you with me, non-emotional based love. Did you hear that? It is a non-emotionally based love, and it's the only indestructible love. Every other type of love requires a feeling, but not agape love. Now, lest you misunderstand me, how many of you know that God has feelings? God has feelings, but listen to me. Let this go in your heart. Love, the God kind of love, is not a feeling. Are you with me today? Well, you're either doing a whole lot of thinking or something today. You know what? We should be very thankful, because this means that God's love for us is very stable. I mean, you know, the love in the world is not very stable today. Man, woo! Try to find some genuine love apart from the brethren, and you are hard pressed. I want some of this kind of love. I need and I want some very stable love in my life. In other words, no matter the circumstances or our actions, listen to this, God still loves us. Isn't that good news? Oh, I don't like it when I don't do things like I should. I don't like it when my attitude is not what it should be. Every now and then, and I talked about this last week, every now and then, or the week before, I talked about this, every now and then I just get up and I struggle with an attitude. Anybody else ever just struggle with that? I don't want this day to be here. I don't want to deal with it. But how many of you know, if I don't deal with it, you know what I'm doing? I'm relying on more of my carnal human nature. But you know what? I very rarely submit to that, and if I do, not very long. Because I want to operate in the agape love of God. I realize life is so short. I can't afford to waste a day by a bad attitude. I like that. No matter the circumstances or our actions, God still loves us. When God tells us to love our neighbors, how can we love them if we don't even like them or even know them? Again, I want to push this issue. How can we say, "I love you, brother," but we're never willing to get to know one another? This is hard for me to accept today in modern Christianity. I love you, and I know people genuinely mean that, but how can I really love you if I don't get to know you, let alone my neighbor? How many of you know who your neighbor is? It's that person sitting next to you. Look at them. Smile at them. Yeah, that's your neighbor. Well, yeah, I love them, or I wouldn't be sitting by them. But let me tell you, your neighbor is the people you work with every day. Your neighbor is the people you live near. Somebody say, "Oh, leave that one alone, Pastor." No, that's your neighbor. You know who else your neighbor is? Your neighbor are the people that's been going through life and have gotten beaten up by life. And God says, "Love your neighbor." But how can we love them if we don't even like them or we don't get to know them? You can't. You see, based upon agape love, we can choose to do what is right for our neighbors as God would even have us do, though we might not have even developed these good emotions or feelings towards them. I really thought about this today. I know this. This is something else I thought. Sometimes I'm just too real. I say too much. But there is, I know agape love is real. Have you ever had somebody in your life that you did not want to love? And you kind of decided, "I'm not going to love them." Come on, church people. I counsel people all the time. I know what I'm talking about. I'm being real. You know why I'm being real? So maybe I can help you. There is one individual in this earth, and none of you would ever, ever, ever know who it is. And they don't go to church here. And it's not anybody you might, and you could just sit here and work. And I tell you, I'm just being real with you. I just don't care for them. I don't. It's not my mother either. It's not my brother and his wife. He said he was worried. I don't believe that. And I can determine. Now, I'm just being real with you. Why this person? I could tell you why. But I'm going to tell you, the minute I see them, God's love for them, you know, if I see them out in public, it's like I want to go the other direction. God makes sure we're going down the same aisle. He makes sure if we go to the restaurant, we're just right there next to one another. And you know what happens to me? I'm telling you, agape love rises up, and a compassion and a concern for them rises up in me, and I know it's God because I don't like them. How many of you see the difference? My emotion says, I don't like them. And it said a few other things to me before. I don't like them. But how many of you know, I'm not to submit to that. I'm to submit to agape love, the kind of love that God loves me with. So let me ask you a question this morning. Do you love your spouse? No matter what your initial answer is, ask yourself, am I primarily measuring my love by an emotion or by a decision? Do I love my wife? Now I'll ask that. Do you love them emotionally? Hey, that's good. But how many of you know the emotions come and the emotions go? Do I want to be loved based upon a feeling that can change at any moment or on an unwavering decision? Do you want God to love you like that? Ooh, got a headache today. And I don't like you. Ooh, I'm not going to bless you today. I'm out of cash today. Don't you know, other parts of the world, they're not eating there. They need some cash. Would you just please go away, little one? How many of you know that's not good? And that's not how God is. Don't see God that way. And when you start seeing God for who He is, the God of agape love, then you're going to start loving your neighbor a whole lot better than you have in the past. That doesn't have anything to do with emotions. Oh, here's a story I read this week. There was a couple that was at their wit's end. And they could not get along and were trying to communicate how frustrating their marriage had become. The woman finally blurted out to the counselor, "We have absolutely nothing in common. In fact, we don't even hate the same people." I mean, that's bad. We can't even agree on who to hate. Hallelujah. There needs to be a whole lot more preaching on this, I can tell. You see, agape love is consistent. It keeps the trust and goodwill of the relationship strong. Are you hearing what I'm saying? See, if you're ruled by emotions, you'll have a difficult life because emotions are so unpredictable. I'm blown away. I am what you would describe as a very emotional person. Can you tell that way by the way I preach sometimes? And how many of you know, it's not always a good thing to live by your emotions. They're so unpredictable. I mean, they will challenge you. They will challenge your faith. They'll challenge your belief. They'll challenge everything that you have held near and dear because emotions are so unpredictable. You factor in some of these other factors that are going on in our world, and my gosh, you can feel like you're going crazy every now and then. But how many of you know God's not going crazy? His love is the same for us every day. And guess what? You're not going crazy either. You've just got emotions like everybody else. And how many of you know that they get messed up in this world that we live in? Now listen, when the thermostat of love is a decision, it sets the temperature high and leaves it there. When feelings come and go, you don't change how you talk or treat your spouse. Did you hear what I said? When you get up on one of those days where the emotions are all scrambled and you're tired, you don't give them the silent treatment. What? Huh? No? You know, the little short answers. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Honey, would you take the trash out today? Yeah. No, none of that. Yes, dear, I'll take the trash out. Yes, dear. Yes, honey. When you've got that thermostat high, that's what you do. Now, when the decision sets the thermostat of love, everything is better. Your friendship is better. And your passion is stronger. Are you hearing me? See, when we determine, today I will not listen to my carnal nature, I will not listen to my emotion, and it takes some work. It takes getting with God. It takes praying a little bit. You know, if my attitude gets bad now, I really do try not to bombard God with a lot of things every day. God, would you give me this? God, would you give me that? God, I'm struggling with this. I'm struggling with that. But I'm going to tell you, when I've got a bad attitude or I'm attempted to have one, I do talk to God about, oh, God, please help me with my attitude. And He wants to help you, and He will. Because He knows that we struggle with that. Everything goes better when you set this thermostat of love that we're talking about, the agape kind of love. Now, if emotions are the thermostat, one day you turn the temperature up high, and then the next day, if you've set them by emotions, then you're angry, and the thermostat turns cold. Any of you ever been in a house when the thermostat goes cold? Ooh, it's not good. One saying, I like it cold in the house. Well, I like it hot in the house. Anybody ever struggle with that on a natural level? Honey, I'm cold. Well, I'm hot. Oh, isn't that a common thing? Boy, it's great. You know, Trace and I have reached a stage in life, we're kind of equal in that area. After I don't know how many years, 30-something, 32 years, hey, our thermostats are equal. It's wonderful. Last night we were sitting there watching a program. Trey said, are you cold? I said, yeah, I'm a little cold. So we turned the thermostat up a little bit. How about you getting the picture today? A thermostat based on emotions can be neither faithful or dependable. I love this verse found in the Bible. Hebrews 13:5, and God says this, I will never leave you, and I will never forsake you. You know what God's saying to every one of us right now, regardless of what we're going through? I will never leave you. I'm not going to leave you. Let me tell you right now with what's going on in our world, let me tell you, a lot of Christians are having battles and they're real. They're having economic struggles and they're wondering, where is God? Where is God right now? Well, I tell you this, God is never going to leave you. That is the agape kind of love. But let me tell you what else God's going to do. He's not just going to hang out in the relationship. He's not going to forsake you either. How many of you know, I could live with Tracy in a relationship and say, I love you, but at the same time, I could forsake her. I could spend all my emotions somewhere else while I'm telling her, I love you, honey, but forsake her. God says, I'll never leave you, and I'll never forsake you. God's not going to just one day say, okay, well, you know, I kind of made a commitment to be in this relationship at the cross. You know, you remember that brutal scene that I went through. So I'm not going to forsake you because I said I wouldn't forsake you or wouldn't abandon you. I'm not going to leave you. But God's saying, I'm not only never going to leave you, but I'm not going to forsake you. You know what's going on in America today? You want to know what's going on today? People are saying they love one another, but they are forsaking one another. Now, I really, God, give me grace right now to say what needs to be said, but not too much. We're spending our emotions somewhere else. And then we wonder one day why we wake up and we're so empty and that we have nothing to offer. Because whether we know it, we have forsaken the one that we say we love. And it does happen. Life can be cruel. Life can be demanding. Life can present problems that drain you emotionally. But let me tell you something. You cannot afford, number one, for your relationship with God to become drained. You've got to stay with God, whatever comes your way. And if you're married, you need to make sure that your relationship, that the emotional strength is there. But on those occasions where it dips a little bit, you need to be walking in agape. Amen? In fact, when the ball gets dropped, guess what? You need to be walking in agape love. This is the God kind of love. How many of you believe that the devil really wants this kind of a message shared all the time? No, I don't think so. Because it would solve a lot of problems. You can stay with someone, but at the same time, you can forsake them. But God doesn't operate that way. From the day when you come into the kingdom, God says this, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. Isn't that good news? God, you know what He does? God makes a commitment right up front. When you come to Him, He says, I'm not going to leave you and I'm not going to forsake you. That is great stuff. The greatest marriages are not when an attractive couple with the right chemistry falls in love and marries. Come on, folks. Listen, it's all right to talk about chemistry. I understand what people are saying when they talk about chemistry. Tracy and I have chemistry now after about 32 years. And we had some of that other kind of love in the beginning, but we've had to mature in it, haven't we, honey? I mean, we've had a few opportunities to have a few fights and a few arguments. But we've also had the opportunity to go through some times with one another and learn what it means to grow and come out of those stronger than before and have a whole lot of love for one another. What is this thing about chemistry anyway? The greatest marriages are when a man and a woman, two very different individuals, get married and go through the good and the bad times together. Now, that's what makes a real marriage. This business of bailing out every time there's some kind of problem or upheaval in the family, this is not love. In fact, this is the very base form of love. It's a human love that's going to run out. Every one of us has to battle these romantic misconceptions that suggest the greatest marriages come from chemistry and great sex and great emotions. It just ain't real. If we were in a different setting and I was speaking primarily to folks who were in an intimate marriage, I would say some other things right now. But sometimes these things come and sometimes they go. Hello. You know the new term is, found my soulmate. I found my soulmate. What is that? It's just a new catchy phrase. But if you stop and think about it, I have found my soulmate. In other words, we connect emotionally. I mean, we got it going. We have the same thing in common. Let me tell you, if you start out with somebody and you have everything in common, let me tell you, he's probably not the person for you. Don't you know that opposites attract? Fireballs attract with low-key people. Emotional people connect with non-emotional people. Oh, I have found my soul mate. Hogwash. That's a good old East Texas term. Soulmate. That, you know, that's the new phrase. We have chemistry. We have affinity with one another. Let me tell you, that is developed after years and years and years of walking in agape. I can say, I have a soulmate. We are connected in soul because Tracy has chosen to love me through some good times and through some bad times. And she's learned how I tick, how I operate, how I think. And she has learned to respect that and learned to be an encourager. And in that sense, we are soulmates. I've done some of that too. We're soulmates. But if we think this is what makes a good marriage, Lord, help us. It's agape love. It's a non-emotional love. Amen? I'm just glad that God is not a prisoner of His emotions. I'm thankful that His love is steadfast and it is unconditional. That's what I'm thankful for. At some point in your marriage, you need to decide that you'll not make your spouse earn your love each day. Buddy, let's just see how you do today. You know, if bring in the bread, take the trash out, love that creepy dog that I love. Cat. Then you can have my love. I almost, it's time to shut down because I'm almost about to go to a whole new level of preaching right now because I really want to preach now. And I probably shouldn't. I just think it's time for us to go to a new level. Let's strive. If we're going to strive for something, let's strive to go to the level where God's at. I just don't love you anymore, God. I've fallen out of love with you, God. God said, well, I hadn't fallen out of love with you. And I never will. And I'll never forsake you. And so God says we're to live like He lives. How is it possible to walk in agape love? The only way I have found to walk in agape love is not to make a decision, but it's to spend some time, an ample time. How much time you got to spend with God? Whatever time it takes to walk in agape love. He is it. You're not going to find it on your favorite sitcom. You're not going to find it on television. You're going to find it spending time with God. And you know how else you're going to find it? You're going to find it as you step out. That thing that some of you resist. I don't like crowds. And I don't like to get around people. I don't like to get too close. You don't like to love either. I believe I will preach a little. One thing about pastoring in the same church for a long time and for many years, you learn a whole lot. You realize something that these guys that move around all the time don't learn. You realize a lot of that is just stuff talk. Just talk. You learn love by connecting with other people and going through problems with them and learning how to forgive and how to release and how to be what you need to be. And then you realize I can do this. And you come through it feeling pretty good. And you realize I can do this in the name of the Lord. I can do it. Folks, no one should ever have to earn our love. Oh, come on. Quit setting these standards. If he or if she does this and does this and does this, then I will love them. Your love, and I've got to stop now, is very, very shallow, and I wouldn't want to live in the same house with you. That's not love. Indestructible love is a decision. It's not an emotion. And every one of you can have it in your marriage today. I want you to stand this morning, and I am going to pray for every marriage that is represented here. And I am going to pray for every relationship that is represented here, for the agape kind of love that we all need. I know that everybody in here wants that. Maybe you're not sure how to fully, in the circumstances you're in, how to get there. How many of you know walking in agape love requires a lot of forgiveness? A lot of forgiveness. But you know what? God gives a lot of forgiveness to us. It's not anything I'll do or you'll do that if I don't genuinely go to God and say, God, forgive me, but what He won't instantly forgive me. I'm going to tell you another way to walk in agape love, husbands and wives. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. Don't let a day, don't let the sun go down. You say, I'm just going to stew on this one a while. I'm going to think about this one. No, you go in, and you know what? Even if you are not the problem, don't go in and say, well, I know you're the problem, but I'm here to get this worked out. Got to get it worked out. You know what that preacher said? The sun's going down. We can't be angry. You know what I mean? You know, I'm sorry that we had a fight. I'm sorry that we had this problem. Oh, and I don't know. Since I'm not a lady, I wouldn't know. But I know this for guys, that's really tough to do. They'll sit there and think, I'm so sorry for being a rascal. We'll sit there and watch TV. I am so sorry that I was a rascal. But it's not good about expressing it. I'm sorry, honey. We just kind of want to sweep it under the rug. How many of you know real love doesn't do that? Real love expresses it. I'm through preaching. I'm through. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray that you strengthen every relationship that is represented here.